Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Hey, Saints and Ains, welcome to another episode of 30 Minutes with the Perry.
What's good with y'all?
How are you today?
Chilling, man.
You're sleepy.
Very.
Why?
Because I've been trying to get like these little sermons and these little messages ready for these events, and I've just been up all night thinking
about it.
That
makes you tired?
Yeah, and then
the Bible makes you tired? Studying the Bible? It's exhausting.
Why you gotta take it there? Like, why you gotta like no. I'm a procrastinator, and so I've been procrastinating on a lot of my deadlines and stuff like that.
Okay. So what are you studying for?
I have to preach in Dallas, and that's the main thing. I gotta preach in Dallas.
What are you preaching?
On Matthew 28, making disciples of all nations.
Tell me about that. I'm helping you prep. I hope you see it.
Yeah, I'm preparing a sermon about discipleship making, but I'm challenging people about the goal part in that. Asking people, what does your goal look like?
Because
I think a lot of times in you so extra. I think a lot of times in especially Western civilization, we can think like our goal looks like, you know, going on mission trips or starting programs in a local community, and that's all good. Uh-huh. But I think that we have to understand that Jesus actually made disciples as he went. And so, like, I think that we have to learn how to make disciples as we go. And so that's how I became a disciple.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, Gary, he took me under his wing, and as he went, he just took me with him. And
teach the text.
Yeah, and so that's crazy, not the whole text.
Crazy thing is, this episode ain't got nothing to do with that.
It never does. You know, we always start off with something totally random.
Has nothing to do with that.
We straight talking about guns.
We are.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
So, With the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yep.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But we're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
You know? And we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie, 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right, so show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour.
It rhymes with, it has a go gun, right?
You tried to force that one.
No, I did force it, but I own that. I don't care.
What do you feel about guns, Pat?
You just went straight there.
Yeah, I just went straight there. You see how I did that?
I don't know how to feel. So on one end, I think they are deadly little creatures, you know, like they kill people. On another end, I am empathetic of them because they also protect people. So,
yeah, like people, like most gun owners, well, a lot of gun owners in America, I don't know about abroad, but in America say that a gun is a shield in the hands of the right person.
Interesting.
Not a weapon.
Yeah, so you Did you want guns when we lived in Chicago?
I wanted guns ever since I was married to you. And you was like, no, no guns. So, no guns at all. Not in my house. I not around my kids.
I can't even bring my voice to that kind of
I don't know why I gave you
tone.
That voice.
I don't even,
I don't know why I gave you that voice.
It was odd.
No, Edith's not going to find a gun when you're going to go pow.
So anyway.
And when you finally let me get a gun, I was like, whoa. And then I just started getting them.
I'm trying to dialogue about the process. So you, Preston kept wanting to have a gun or whatnot. And when I was in like first or second grade, like we watched this program about this, you know, you probably don't remember because you a hood baby. And I don't know how much y'all was watching
HBO. First of all, I'm tired of people coming to my DMs like, hey, hood baby, because of you.
Apologize. Call them Preston.
My name anyway, is Preston.
So they watched. We watched this little special about safety, and it was like this little reenacted thing where these two kids was in the house, and one of the kids found their dad's gun and shot the other little boy. And when you in second grade, that's mad traumatizing. So that's always just kind of been in my spirit that like I don't want a gun in the house, especially considering the fact that we have children. Until we moved into a home in Georgia. Then it felt like, huh.
I want a gun up in here.
Yeah, because before we was in apartments. So it's like, y'all got options of places y'all gonna break into. Now that I got this house, like, if you just want to come to my house, like, you here. And yeah. Then what I'm gonna do, like, I'm gonna stab you. I got to get real close to you to stab you. I'm gonna throw the knife. My aim ain't that great. I ain't got no bow and arrows. What am I gonna do? I could pray, but, like, we need to pray and, like, do a thing. And yeah. So I felt like guns would be helpful to protect me and my children when you're gone. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think, having guns is, I wouldn't say it's for everybody, but I don't think that they're all the way wrong when you are educated about the gun that you have, when you are responsible and making sure that guns stay secure, not just to protect people, you know, in your home and children, but also I think that America should do a better job of making sure everybody has safes in their home, because a lot of the crimes or a lot of the, you know, stuff that happened around the country is happened because people steal guns and then go do crimes with them. And so because it's not easily traceable back to them. And so, yeah, I think that.
So to this statement and even into my own experience, I felt a pushback in my spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what somebody would say and what people have said is, why do you need a gun when God can protect you?
Same reason why you lock your doors at night.
Explain.
because I think to say that, you know, God is going to protect us is such a, it's an obvious statement, but at the same time, it's like we still take preventative measures to make sure we're safe. It's like we wear seatbelts. And so we lock our doors at night. You know, we call the police. We don't say, oh, don't come. Jesus is here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we do things, yeah. You know, to, you know, and so I think that in the same way a cop has a gun, I think that if I'm a responsible citizen, I can have one too. That's just my you know, I don't feel convicted about having a gun. And also too, I think, yeah, in light of what we are going through in America with all of these mass shootings, I would love to see, and maybe I'm taking it somewhere else, but I would love to see this country like a London, a place where, you know, guns are not such a thing. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, this country was built on mm-hmm. guns. And so me personally, if I'm in a grocery store with mm-hmm. my family and somebody comes in shooting, I personally feel more secure with my gun and Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me.
That's the new shirt.
You know what I'm saying? And I know that kind of sounds like probably like a, you know, a right-wing Republican, you know what I'm saying? But I'm really not trying to sound like that. But I do think that there has to be a balance, you know what I'm saying?
So we both know of a prominent teacher who has said that if someone were to break into his home and, you know, threatening him and his wife, that he would not shoot or own a gun because he feels like this is one way to turn the other cheek and lay your life down for the gospel, even though it's not a martyr situation. They just probably trying yeah. to steal your PS5. But, you know, like, how do you respond to men who would say, killing an individual is not the way that I want to protect myself and my family.
Yeah, about that. I can't go.
Why not?
If somebody come in my crib and seeks to harm my family, I feel like I have a moral obligation to protect them at all costs. Mm-hmm. And I don't, my heart is never to kill somebody who comes in my house without my permission, but I do want you to stop moving. This is what I mean. I'm not necessarily.
Why are you pointing at me for so long?
Because I meant it with all my heart.
Go ahead.
This is what I mean. I want you to. I want to eliminate the threat of anybody in my family.
Meaning the goal would not be to kill, but to.
I don't want you to move. I don't want you to move in my house. I want you to stay still. And so if I have the opportunity, right, to say, don't move and you listen and I can keep my eye on you. But if I don't
until have the police show up.
Until the police show up. But okay. If I don't have the opportunity. Because here's the thing. It's the difference between.
So what does this mean? You aiming for the angles? What are you doing? How do they not?
Hopefully I don't have to aim for anything. If I can assess them before they make me out in the house and see where I am. Uh-huh. If I can assess them and see that they don't have a gun. But if they have a gun in their hand, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to shoot.
Got it.
Not going to hesitate. Because I have kids in here and a wife that I love very much.
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to like, oh, maybe I should. I'm going to shoot.
Okay.
And I'm going to shoot until you stop moving. That's just me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so I know that might make some people feel uncomfortable, but that's just, yeah.
At what point, okay, how do you, I'm only anticipating objections. So somebody would say the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Have you sinned against God by killing that person?
No. So. Well, I think that killing in that context is murder. Killing without justifiable cause. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's the case, like God wouldn't have told David to, you know, kill Goliath. I think killing is warranted in some situations. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I think that killing someone without like a reason, I think that's murder. Like, you know, like what when Cain killed Abel merely because he was jealous that he was giving good gifts unto the Lord. Like, right. That's murder.
Right.
And so I think protecting your family, I think that God calls us to protect our family. And I think it's a difference. Like, you brought up the pastor who thinks, you know, that if somebody breaks in their house, you know, they should die for the gospel. Mm-hmm. I think it's a complete difference in somebody saying, Preston, deny Jesus or die.
Yeah.
And somebody coming and saying, you know what, I just want to, you know,
yeah,
I want to kill your wife and your children.
I want to murk y'all.
Yeah, that's complete difference.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
So with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yep.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But we're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
You know? And we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie, 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheparis.com/tour.
Okay. So about AR-15s.
AR-15s.
Why is that a thing, I guess, in America that we would have these weapons that should exist on, you know, in wars and stuff? Like, why is that, like, in regular people houses?
So here's the thing. So
that's kind of troubling to me.
So my view on guns, I feel like I be having, like... people on the right sometimes say, "Amen, Preston," and the people on the left saying, "Amen, Preston." You know, because I think everything that I just said, a lot of gun owners and a lot of, you know, people who, you know, want their gun rights protected in this country probably love what I just said a couple seconds ago. But when it comes to AR-15s, I'm completely in agreement with people who want to see criminal background checks. Mm-hmm. I'm completely in agreement with people who feel like the person who went into that grocery store and shot those people up in Buffalo, New York, or the incident that happened in a school in Texas. Like, I think that it's irrational and it's irresponsible for us to allow an 18-year-old person who doesn't even know who they are yet, mm-hmm, to go inside of a store and buy AR-15 with military rounds. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was reading, I told you this morning, I was reading a scholarly article about mass shootings, but really it was like a psychological and sociological profile of mass shooters and how the large majority of them are between 18 to 25. Mostly all of them have been abandoned, rejected, isolated. They might have some type of mild disability that makes them different from the majority culture, mm-hmm, in their school. And also just kind of, the word isn't effeminate, but not treated as manly enough.
Yeah.
And so when they get introduced to guns and artillery and weapons and all of that type of stuff, like, that is the one place where they feel powerful and feel masculine. Mm. And at the point that they go inside of places and shoot up schools or whatever the case may be, it's usually when they've reached the peak of not being able to take it anymore. Mm-hmm. But there's always a warning. Almost always. They sent somebody a letter. They done said something on social media. They done made some kind of post that, hey, this is where I am. This is what I'm about to do. But they rarely stop.
Yeah, because I thought about the guy who, unfortunately, you know, murder those children in that school. And I put this on social media. Like, I was in bed one night and I, like, literally was in tears. Like, I was, because as a father, you think about what those kids went through. And then I begin to think about him. And I begin to, like, hear all the arguments on social media and on the news about gun control and all of that. And I think about my 18-year-old self who had all that anger inside of me. You know what I'm saying? I was confused. My hormones are raging. And so I heard, you know, that guy was picked on. And unfortunately, he wanted to take it out on third graders and other people who picked on him. I don't understand that. But yeah, like, why would you allow someone who doesn't even know who they are yet
to own a gun?
Not even a gun, because what you just said about the study is that I have an AR-15, right, and I've shot AR-15s. I've shot AR-15s a whole bunch of times. And so it's completely different between you shooting a handgun and an AR-15.
What's the difference?
You feel powerful. Mm-hmm. It's a heavy machine, mm-hmm, right? And so I think that psychologically, when you put something so powerful in the hands of somebody who has so much anger, mm-hmm, and studies show that we as boys, we don't mature until like 25. Mm-hmm. And so he's dealing with all of that rejection, all of that hurt, all of that pain, all of the people talking about him. And it's like, okay, while you're trying to figure out who you are, come get an AR-15 with military rounds.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I think for the people who are just asking, people who are trying so hard to protect, and I know I might sound like I'm like being hypocritical here, but I'm not. I think it has to have balance. Mm-hmm. I think that for people in this country saying who are saying, like, no, we should have mental background checks for people who want to own these type of weapons, I don't think that they should be 18 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I own guns at 35. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I should have owned those guns at 18.
Yeah.
Also too, I think that we need to do a better job of making sure every state and city has criminal background checks, that everybody has safes, you know what I'm saying, in their homes to protect their guns and keep them locked up. And so I just think that this country is backwards in this way. And that's the reason why I want to have guns, is because I live in a country that allows stuff like that.
So earlier you mentioned London, and when you mentioned London, I thought about Scotland, because our friend Carrie grew up there. And I remember the first time I had a conversation with Carrie, that's when we were living in Chicago. And, you know, the crime rate and murder rate in Chicago is just always high. And so it was always on the forefront of my mind. And I asked, I said, how many murders were there in Scotland, like last year or something? And she was like, 7.
Wow.
And she was like, but they were all by stabbing, which was like, I was like, how? She was like, because we can't have weapons and guns.
Even
and
though stuff. You got to be in the different type of crazy.
But that's
stab
what I'm
somebody.
Saying. Like if
it's if, like you hit a
if people are dying because of stabbing, you've already reached into a different niche of a person.
Yeah.
Right.
Come here.
And so it's like, but I think that weekend Chicago maybe had 36 murders. For her to only have experienced 7, and just on Friday there was 36. That was deep to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess my question is it even, this is idealistic, but is it even a possibility that America can just kind of do away with guns? Is that a thing?
So here's the thing, man.
I know we got the Constitution, and what is that? What's the one of the things that all the people
the Second Amendment
about?
Right? Yeah, and that all thing. That. Yeah. I'm not one of those gun owners that's saying, like, I love guns and I love my Second Amendment rights mm-hmm. so much. And I'm not one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate guns.
The dialect you used was very... Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew who you were talking to.
Right, yeah. Because I'd be at the gun range with a lot of them, and they cool people. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, brother, shoot your AR-15. And I'm like, okay. You know? But I'm not one of those people, but I do feel like, as far as America getting rid of guns, I feel like America, and this is just my own personal opinion, and I could be wrong, I feel like we'll get rid of the hamburger before we get rid of guns. It's so American. And I think when you think about America, this country is so much about power. You have to understand one of the ways in which America came into power is because of guns.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We were straight killing the Native Americans because they didn't have guns. Mm-hmm. You know? And don't say we.
That wasn't us.
Go ahead. But I'm just saying, like, America, you know, and so I think that to let go of something so much that contributes to them having us having power, I just don't never see it happening. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately. And I think that for the church to put it on us, I think that we have to pray, because I think in some ways we have to understand that God will judge us for all the blood that was shed because of guns. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But as for me in my house, I just want to make sure.
I know for a fact.
If I live in a society with so many guns out here, I want to be able to protect my family.
I know for a fact that Hobby Lobby got a rug that says that.
What?
As for me in my house, we going to have guns. I know it's at Michael's or somewhere, Home Goods, Marshall's, TJ.
Because so I heard a guy, he's a white guy that I became really cool with going to the gun range. And he always wears this shirt that says, a gun is a shield in the hands of the right person. And I do think that there's a lot of truth to that. Because I think that you can hate guns, and I think that you can be equally grateful for a gun if it's used to save your life. And so I think that it has to be a balance. But I think that this country is so political that we'll do what we have to do to keep the hands in the to keep guns in the hands of the right people at the expense of endangering so many others.
I think
that's the problem.
To close, I would like to hear your thoughts on, so like every time there's a mass shooting and people talk about it, people always bring up Chicago. Like, why are we talking about the mass shootings when people are dying in Chicago all the time? And it rubs me the wrong way because it's a deflection.
It is a deflection.
Oftentimes. It's like, yeah, I feel you. There is a lot going on in Chicago, but about this mass shooting. Like, that's the topic at hand. But secondly, y'all don't even live there, ain't lived there,
Never
don't know the pastors
there.
On the ground, don't know the organizations that's doing work. I was a part of one of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, to me, it's like you're using Chicago as a scapegoat to talk about another issue. But I guess you, as a Chicago native who has seen the corruption that has actually like cultivated this kind of violent atmosphere in Chicago, like what's your thoughts?
Yeah, one, I think that people have to understand that these it's easier to get a gun in some parts of Chicago than it is to get candy for some kids, which is sad, right? I've talked about in the past when I was young growing up in the my whole family is from this city called Roseland. We used to see cops literally drop bags of guns off in the alley way, like with the serial number scratched off of them so they won't be traced. Like I've seen things like that at, you know, 11 and 10 years old. And so one, I think for people who say things like that, really do not like, they don't understand the corruption that happens in a place like Chicago. There's no reason why the city of New York has cleaned up their streets in such a way and Chicago can't do the same. And what I tell people all the time is that corruption can be easily hidden in chaos. Right. And so you have to understand that. And so the more chaotic a neighborhood is, the more corruption can be hidden. When it's cleaned up, corruption is exposed. And so when you see a city that is heavily corrupted, you are not only supposed to look at the citizens that are there. You have to look at the leadership. Black people in the hoods are not the leadership. So that's one thing. Secondly, I do think it's a legitimate argument for people who have AR-15s and say, you know, yeah, like majority of the murders that happen around this country are not taking place with AR-15s. It's with handguns, which is a true thing. You can't conceal an AR-15, but you can conceal a handgun. And so most criminals use handguns,
right?
And so a lot of the murders that's happened in Chicago, most of them are happened with, you know, with handguns. But I think for people, you have to understand that, like, when you look at all the murders in Chicago and you see like 800 murders in 1 year, and you say, well, why don't you guys care about the murders that's happening in Chicago? It's like, do you really think we don't? It's like it's so offensive. Like, I grew up on the south side of Chicago and we had way more stop the shoot rallies than police brutality rallies or AR-15 rallies or whatever. It's like, but I think sometimes the far left, they don't promote that because it doesn't support their agenda.
I
think the left.
I think
when you see, because I'm not a fan of the right or the left. I'm just gonna be 100 with you. Cause the right.
That means honest.
Yeah, honest. I think sometimes people say, "Man, let's focus on what's happening with these AR-15s." But I think sometimes the left, they don't put a lot of emphasis on, you know, black people really caring about the murders that happen in our city. Chicago has don't shoot rallies every year and you don't see it on mainstream news. And so this is the reason why so many people who don't live in the hood are so misinformed about how we deeply care about black men and women dying every year. And so they look at us and say, oh, you guys don't really care. And it's like, no, we have way more stop the violence and don't shoot rallies than we have police brutality and all of this stuff, but it's not promoted on the left. And I think the right, I think they always want to use murders in Chicago as a cop out and things like that when they want to protect their agenda. And so I think and that's the reason why I don't really like the political conversation as much, even though it is political. I think that we need to just start having human conversations and talking to people and learning from people who don't come from our worlds. Because if you talk to somebody from, like me, a person who came from the hood, who's been redeemed, who loves Jesus, you will see that, no, people from my community, we do care about the murders that happened in Chicago. And yeah, and we also said about the killings that happened with AR-15s. And so I think it has to be balanced. And I think that we have to learn from people who don't look like us.
Well, there we go. You did a good job. Because I have nothing to add to this conversation other than questions.
And I'll say this.
Okay. Get off your chest.
And I'll say this.
P.S.
AR-15s do not stand for assault rifle, right? Right. And so I think a lot of times when people think about AR-15s, they think about, you know, a gun that can kill 20 people in 5 seconds. A handgun and an AR-15 are both semi-automatic weapons, meaning you have to pull them. You have to pull the trigger each time for a bullet to shoot out. What makes an AR-15 deadly is not that it can kill people faster, it's that the round is stronger. And then anytime the longer a gun is, the more accurate it is. And so most people who shoot with handguns are going to miss, especially if they don't know how to shoot. You can get somebody who don't know how to shoot and they can aim a little bit and hit their target with an AR-15. And so that's the difference. And so I think that if we really want to keep guns in this country, I think that we have to do a better job at teaching people how to operate these guns, teaching people how to be responsible with these guns, and making sure they don't end up in the hands of people who are mentally ill and who are mad at the world without mental background checks yet. Because if we don't, I believe that God will judge us. You know what I'm saying? And so that's it. That's all I'll say.
All right. Bye, y'all. 30 Minutes with the Perrys is a production of Ivy Media Podcast, edited by Angie Elkins, video recording and audio production by Kim Powell, artwork by Hop and music by Swoop. Join us on Patreon for early access to With the Perrys episodes and other exclusives. You got two options. You can go to www.patreon.com/withtheperrys, or just go ahead, scroll. You'll find the link in our show notes. We are the Perrys. Thank y'all for listening. Now go with God.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.